meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and happy Tuesday. Tony, how are you?
Hey, Father.
Nick, over there? Más o menos. This más, más o más menos. Más, más o más menos. More or less, whatever.
More or less.
More or less. Christina couldn't be here today. She's got taking care of her mom.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's, we'll pray, okay?
Yes.
We'll pray and then
we'll
go from there.
It's always a good way to start.
So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia, for he whom thou didst merit to bear, alleluia, hath risen as he said, alleluia. Pray for us to God, alleluia, rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, alleluia, because the Lord is truly risen, alleluia. Let us pray. O God, who by the resurrection of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has vouchsafed to make glad the whole world, grant, we beseech thee, that through the intercession of the Virgin Mary, his mother, we may lay hold of the joys of eternal life through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, whose mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us. Increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin, of virgins our mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful, O Mother of the Word incarnate. Despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Mark,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
More and more I'm calling on Saint Michael.
Yeah.
Saint Joseph and Saint Michael, you know.
I'm beginning to feel the same way.
Well, you know, yeah, really.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I got to maybe bring this, because you know we're going through what they call the Eucharistic revival. And so I just received today a little book. It's called a pocket Catechism on the Eucharist with Prayers. And I just was looking to it, and it's really beautiful. So I'm going to see if I can try to get one for everybody in the parish.
That would be cool.
But it answers all your questions, it seems. Well, we'll look at this. We'll unpack this on the radio. Not today, but I just got it, and I just looked at it at some point sooner than later. Maybe Thursday. Who knows?
Who knows?
We've got the confirmation coming up.
Yeah, it's busy season now, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I had confessions all day Saturday, so I had confessions in the morning because we've got Holy Communions coming up as well. I know this is like beating a dead horse because we go through this every year.
It's a parish.
And really, it is. It really is. And you think, people think Holy Week is the busiest. It's the beginning of the busiest time of year. So in fact, Holy Week is actually, everybody's really focused. You know, you're really focused on the Triduum and the lead up to the Triduum, and everything happens very fast and changes very fast, but it's very, very beautiful. So you're expending a lot of energy in preparation, and then we enter into the sacred liturgies, and everything is just so, so beautiful. We've talked about that, but it's after Holy Week that things really get busy, because then we go into Divine Mercy Sunday. And were you at the Divine Mercy?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this, I think,
yes.
Didn't we? Yeah.
We need to talk about it again.
Yeah, that was because
beautiful, truly beautiful.
Because I left the day after. That's right. That's since I was gone last week. It seemed like it was so long ago.
Yeah.
How time was
remember,
flying.
I was the one that tried to get you back into the sanctuary, which you could
Right, that's right. You were there.
I saw it. I said, oh, my gosh, he's never going to be permitted to get back to the Mass.
Well, you know, the thing is, I was so tired by the time we got to the 3 o'clock, and that's it's usually a big mess. We didn't have as many as
I thought about that too. It's because we, in a sense, were the first ones to do this. And I was explaining this to somebody. I forgot who it was. I'm like you now. I don't remember who I was talking to, but I was explaining we were the first ones to be, and then
before it was even promulgated,
Everybody came here, so you kind of expect that. And I'm going to not, I don't like the big crowds anymore. You know, I mean, there's something, the intimacy about again, in the church, it wasn't empty. It was, you know.
It was, in a way, a good, it was a full, almost a full church. I mean, it wasn't packed.
Yeah.
But it was like, in,
but
like
there's something but it used about to be it. Like that. Exactly. Yeah. There's something about, and I like this more and more. I don't know if it's just, it's me. I like the small crowds, but sometimes when it's more intimate.
But I have to say, the Triduum, we had to pack the church all 3 days, and that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Having that crowd on all 3 days was beautiful, but going into that into the Divine Mercy Mass, I was really really tired, and then we had the problem with the microphone in the beginning, and that kind of threw me. And then of course I was told that so and so was going to be here, Sister Ancy actually, the head of the Missionaries of Charity.
Right.
And somebody else, and so I wanted to, and I normally don't do this, but I wanted at the beginning of the homily to acknowledge the presence of Sister Ancy and Richard Wenzel, who was here, and a shout out to Richard, because we've got the new Divine Mercy images. That's his apostolate. You know, he wants to get the image everywhere, and it's so that it can be seen, and we've got the prime property right here, right along the Kennedy Expressway, and so we've got the triptych of the Divine Mercy. But so he was responsible. He's got his own donors, so it didn't cost us anything, but it's quite expensive because those are huge. Those are huge images, but they had I don't remember when they were first put in, but they had faded with time, and so. He comes to Mass here from time to time, and he noticed, and I noticed as well, because I don't always put attention to the outside, except that I happen to be on the expressway.
Right, and seeing it.
And I saw it, and I thought, wow, those are really faded, the images. And it was actually kind of one of these simultaneous moments where I mentioned to Oscar, actually, because I was on the way to the airport to Rochester. This is going back maybe a little over a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. And when I got to Rochester, I saw Oscar. He picked me up at the airport, and Oscar's a friend of the parish, and he's really responsible, one of the key persons responsible for our being on the radio, Geraldine. Sullivan and Rosemary Sullivan have really sustained us all through the years and really built the studio. But anyway, so I mentioned to Oscar in the car, I says, you know, those Divine Mercy images have really faded. Mm-hmm. They look really, they've really faded. They've lost all their color. And wouldn't you know, at that very moment, Richard called from Chicago. I was in Rochester. And we had this like a three-way conversation. He says, I wanted to. I was at Mass on Sunday, and I realized those images have faded. We need to get new images up, and so we got them up and got them up in time for Divine Mercy Sunday. And then the crazy thing is, because we had this very hot weather, it was unseasonably hot. It was like the middle of the summer. And that's all I knew, because I hadn't been outside. I had been so busy building up to the Divine Mercy Sunday with all the other stuff going on in the parish that I hadn't been outdoors. I just knew it was, and the heat was still inside. In fact, even during the Mass, I thought we should probably open up some of these doors, because it's so hot. It seemed very hot in the church. To me, it seemed very hot.
Yeah.
And then we, at the end of the chaplet after the Mass, we started with a rosary. We had the Mass and then the chaplet, and then we processed out to the images, and I couldn't believe
how cold it was.
It was they said the temperature had dropped 30 degrees,
and I was watching because it was raining earlier, and I thought, oh my gosh, I hope it stops. And I know it was raining when I came in; it was a little drizzle when we started the Mass, but then as we went out.
Was it that cold when you came in?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
It was cold.
So people got in their cars right
away. Yeah, and I was just afraid. I'm not afraid of cold, but I thought it was going to rain. And then, you know, coming out, and this rain stopped.
Yeah.
And I think it was drizzling a little bit afterwards.
Perhaps. I don't know. Yeah. But it was bitterly cold. It was, and you rescued me, you know, you got me, because I had to get back in for the 5:30 mass. I think it was like 15 minutes before the 5:30 mass. So anyway, but it was beautiful. And I say it was beautiful. I felt that's what I was going to say. I just, because of the sound system,
right.
And it was a bit of that, and I was tired. So I felt like I didn't feel that I was as disposed as I had been in the past. But in any case, it was very nice. And then, like I mentioned before the homily, I wanted to acknowledge these. So Richard was there, but I was looking for him, and then I was Sister Ansi, but she hadn't arrived yet.
Yeah,
she was head of the Missionaries of Charity Worldwide, the Missionaries of Charity Contemplative, and so that kind of threw me off as one. I thought I should have just gone right into the homily, but anyway, and so now we're in the it's hard to believe already the third. We just had the third Sunday of Easter.
I mean, it's just going by so fast.
So, we've got tomorrow 69 confirmations.
Wow!
So Saturday, this past Saturday, I was in the confessional because we had to. You take whatever time you got to try to hear these confessions. I had done the students, you know, during the school. That was no problem. We had actually we had so many for First Holy Communion, we had to do break it up, half 1 week, half the other week, and then I had all the school confessions before Easter, before the Holy Week, and this past Saturday I had because we're getting ready for other Holy Communion. So I think next year we're gonna combine all the Holy Communions. It just makes more sense to do that.
Yeah. I mean, depending on the size, I don't know.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, it just makes more sense. We try to do the bilingual. We try to do Spanish and English separately, you know, and just because families they with the language and all that. But I think, I say this every year, but I said, you know, we should have one Holy Communion, just like we're going to have one confirmation. But we've got quite a few, so we got 69. And
that could be.
So I was in the confessional all day Saturday. It was one of those Saturdays when I didn't have anything to do in the church except the evening mass at 5. So I had confessions through the morning, confessions through the afternoon, because there was another group there's various groups that were in retreat. So I had, I think Angelica was here your wife was here, I think maybe in the morning or. I don't remember, but in one of those, or maybe in the afternoon. But then I had the confessions in the afternoon. That went through most of the afternoon. Then I went to the 5 o'clock mass, and then we had the other group, 22. Yeah. I figured there's 22 after the 5 o'clock mass, and I got the next mass is 7 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So and these are and they were good confessions, and you know these are high school students, and so I had 22 after the.
Wow.
We didn't start until 6:30, maybe 6:45, because I spoke to them before I even started the confession. Mm-hmm. So it was a kind of a grueling weekend, you know. And then on Sunday, because I do confessions in the afternoon after the 12 o'clock, but they were penitents who were coming from other parishes preparing for their sacraments in their parishes. So they came for confession here.
So I think of one priest doing all these confessions. And albeit we are here, it's just, we are one priest. There's one priest here. But what this might have been, you know, what it could be, and I think eventually one day it's going to be where there's going to be multiple priests. Confessions are going to be at all times. I remember that as a kid.
Right.
Know, it's like,
I think often of what Cardinal George said. Because I, you know, being one priest, I don't mind. It's not, you know, the masses, the sacraments. It's all the other stuff that happens. Yeah. You know, the stuff I was dealing with this morning and.
But you think about it, and I know some parishes are confession by appointment, or maybe it's...
I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand either, or it's like maybe 25 minutes before Mass.
Right, right.
But there are people that come for confessions here.
Right.
And the sad thing is that, you know, there's only one, it's only you.
Build and they shall come, right?
Yes.
They would open the door and they'll be there.
Yes.
If we communicate to the people that we don't value this, if we offer only 30 minutes mm-hmm. a week or by appointment, then that said that we're communicating to the people that this is not, or maybe priests think that, you know, there is, who knows? I don't know. But I just say, a priest came from Milwaukee mm-hmm. last Saturday, not this past Saturday, the Saturday before. So they had he brought the seminarians from Wisconsin, really nice guys, a good group, which gives you a lot of hope. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a nice group. There may be maybe a dozen, maybe a little bit more or a little less, I don't know. It seemed to me there had to be about a dozen seminarians. It's a good number, right?
Mm-hmm.
12.
12 is good.
Yeah. And so he's the, I don't think he's the rector of the seminary, but he's in charge of the liturgy mm-hmm. in Milwaukee. But I was really impressed. You know, they had the Mass at 8:00, and it was very traditional. I mean, sometimes we think that we just are inundated with bad news on mm-hmm. all levels of life today, and yet you know, beneath the surface, you know, while there are those who want to push us into a, you know, kind of morph the church into something that looks radically different from what we knew, there are many, many, and especially the young, who, even with the Novus Ordo, because it was a Novus Ordo Mass, but it was done so beautifully, and they had the Latin in the Mass, and they sang, they chanted, and all that. It was really beautiful. And afterwards, you know, I took them, you know, talked to them and gave them a little tour of the rectory. They brought them into the chapel, and everybody's always amazed. You know, we're right along the expressway. You know, they just couldn't. They were just that was just like too much. You know, wow, it's like these cars are coming right into the rectory. But but we were talking, and I says, you know, I told them, I said, you know, we've got everything we need, you know. I don't want to be overly harsh when it comes to synod on synodality, but I don't even go into what all that means. Many people don't know what it means, you know. But it's about
we're going to. Good thing you don't know what it means.
We're going to accompany. We're going to. It's about inclusivity. About dialogue and all that, but there just seems to be a whole sector of the church that's kind of left out in a sense, you know, and if you hold to traditional, anyway, we've talked about this before, and I don't want to belabor the point, but I said, you know, we've got everything we need. We've got sacred scripture, we've got sacred tradition, we've got the holy sacrifice of the Mass. There has to be an emphasis on sacrifice. That's why when I got this little book, the Pocket Catechism on the Eucharist, I always look to see if they emphasize sacrifice, and it does, sacrifice and sacrament, mm-hmm. So that it does, you know, the holy sacrifice, because that's the messianic hour perpetuated in the messianic time until Jesus comes at the end of time. So we're being in a perpetual way washed in the blood of the Lamb. This is the fount of the divine mercy, mystically speaking. And even speak about that here. The other one of the things I learned, which kind of, because I always say Mass means missio, mission, and that's what I've always understood. But and the two are related. But I was just reading this in the Latin. It is if I can find it here. But the Mass is ended. In other words, it is finished. It is finished. And it is done. It is finished. It's the dismissal. missal, mass, but it's, you know, dismissed
to go out,
to go out.
Yeah,
to
go out. That's when I think of intermission. Which we're
trying to say. Yeah, and but I say, you know, this is and confession,
mm-hmm,
and reconciliation, the sacrament. Open those doors. We've got everything we need, and God will do the rest. God will do the rest. But anyway, I want to, we'll take a break and then we'll come back. I want to go back to the, this, past, Sunday, because that was, again, the beautiful reading on, the evening of, the resurrection, the day of the resurrection, when Jesus encounters the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, because that, and that certainly relates to what I just said about the Eucharist. So I want to talk about that, and then also I was really quite fascinated with the first reading from the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, as well as the letter of Saint Peter. So we'll come back and look at that. So I'm going to say what was said, you know, by those two disciples. Stay with us, okay? So don't go away. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change here with, back to TNT.
Yeah.
Tony, Nick, and Tony, and Christina.
See you later.
We'll be here Thursday, hopefully. I talked to her yesterday, so it's good having her back, isn't it?
Really? Yeah, it really is very good.
It's nice. So, anyway, this past Sunday, all of you have been, you were all at Mass. I'm certain of that. Good Catholics, or if you're not Catholic and you're listening,
doors are always
open. My doors are open. Our doors are open. The church is calling you. Christ is calling you. In this crazy time that we're living in,
it's
got to suffer with the rest of us, right? But it's the faith is, the Lord. I'm going to hold. We hold Jesus to His words. The gates of hell shall not prevail. You know, I will be with you until. In fact, this is the Is it, I'm always ahead of myself. Is it this coming Sunday or already I'm starting to look at the Sunday next, after?
Yeah.
It's crazy, you know. But anyway, well, the point is he will be with us. As he said, I will stay with you. You know, Emmanuel means God with us. Mm-hmm. And the night before he died, didn't he say, you know, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am you will be, but I will come back. I will not leave you orphans. I will stay with you. And that goes, it brings us right back to this this gospel, this evening of the resurrection. But the first letter, the first epistle of St. Peter, we're told, this is what we heard this on Sunday, to conduct ourselves with reverence during the time of our sojourn, realizing we've been ransomed at the price of the precious blood of Christ. Now, sojourn means to live somewhere temporarily, as if on a visit or a brief stay. So think of life in that way. Because even you can you consider the fullness of time, even if we live to be 100, our time in this life, on this planet, is brief. It's brief. You know, by the way, so, you know, and happy birthday. I don't even remember.
Everybody's birthday, don't worry.
Yeah.
I like to forget it.
Isn't Angelica's birthday in April,
too? Not yet. It's
okay.
Done.
But I can't believe, I still can't, in my mind, get it in my head that I'm 68 years old. It just doesn't.
Thanks again. Now I just remember how old I am by you saying that.
Well, but you're still young. I mean, you
know. Still.
But anyway, it's how time flies, right?
Yeah.
In 100 years, our time in this life, on this planet, gosh, it will be gone. It'll be brief. But without enumerating a litany of woes, which I intend to do on Sunday, today we find ourselves discussing, conversing, debating the events unfolding throughout the world, even in the church, what's going on in the church. It's just like those disciples, Jesus encounters them. This is the evening, they're leaving Jerusalem, and he says, what are you discussing? They were conversing, they were discussing, conversing, and debating the events that were unfolding, that had unfolded. And so are we not? Isn't that what we do when we come on the radio? We're conversing, we're debating, we're discussing the events unfolding throughout the world, even in the church. For many people, the world, and really it suddenly seems like a very strange place. It's as if we've come into a foreign land. We want to pass quickly through this land, quote unquote, and return to what was familiar to us and gave us a sense we were home. We were home. I use the image of Sandlot on Sunday. I said, wouldn't you like to go back to Sandlot? I mean, go. Everybody kind of nodded. They were really kind of tuned in, and you know, they know what I was talking about. The movie Sandlot, the kids on their bicycles, and it was just a beautiful movie. I saw it in Rochester, you know, I'd never heard of it or seen it. And I got to tell the kids in the school.
It's funny you say that because I don't remember it too, but when you mention it, I looked and all like the streaming services, they've had it. It's been on. So ever since you kind of brought us to think about it, it's been on. So.
Well, it's a good baseball movie, that's as Nick said. But I had come back when I saw it, I didn't know the name because I actually saw that this is on the TCM. Mm-hmm. They've got some of those old movies are really good movies. Yeah. And Paul Newman was just great, by the way. You know, I saw a movie this past week when I was there. I forget the name of the movie. The Philadelphia Boys or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it was don't want to talk about that. But it was a great movie. Very old movie.
And those are good now, coming back. It's where you see something like Sandlot, and you think, although it's not an older movie like that, but it's an old.
But it's old. It's because I'm old. It's old. You know, because that goes back to my time. You know, when I was a kid. But it's about bicycle. A baseball movie, and you had the bicycle, the kids, and it was really funny. And And when I saw it, I got to tell the kids, I got to see this movie.
There were no PlayStations or no Xboxes at that time.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You weren't stuck in front of a computer.
Exactly.
You were out there playing.
Exactly. But when I mentioned at the Mass, I said, I don't know the name of this movie, but you got to see it. And I tried to describe it. And they all knew. Sandlot. So I wonder how they view it when they see it, because we lived it.
Yeah.
We lived that movie.
Yeah.
And they...
I wonder if not. It's like even with us, when the older you get, you kind of long for that.
Yeah.
I wonder if kids today say, well, we don't know anything about this, but this looks good. I wish
That's
we
what
could.
I'm saying. Think that they... I would think so. Yeah. Because they do when they have here in the park, they have a movie night, or the school will have movie nights from time to time, and that's one of the big movies that they show the kids.
It's good.
It's a very good movie, but in any case, wouldn't we like to go back to a former time when we felt we were at home? Right now, many of us no longer feel like we're at home in our own in the world today, and sometimes even in the church. You know, unfortunately. For so many, don't punish me for saying that, but that's I hear that all the time. You know,
yep.
People are confused. You know, they're very confused about what's going on, what's happening. Everything seems to be upside down. We got to stay the course. You know, be immersed in Scripture and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Don't de-emphasize the sacrifice, because that's what brings us to communion with God. In the Holy Eucharist, and there's nothing wrong with tradition. I mean, this is sacred tradition, you know. Yeah. Do we want something that we don't recognize? Something's come down to us for a reason. It's been time tried and tested, and it's still being time tried and tested, you know, put to the test. But in the Gospel, so we had this beautiful story of the two disciples on the day of our Lord's resurrection. It's evening, and they're on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They know only one thing: Jesus, who they hoped would be the one to redeem them, was crucified. He died, and he was buried. And with his death, their hopes had died. Like us, as the Gospel said, they were discussing, conversing, debating an event that had turned their world upside down. And Jesus appears to them. Their eyes are prevented from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What are you discussing?" As you walk along, and with eyes downcast, they recounted the event of their Lord's death. They recounted the tragedy of it all, how their hopes had been destroyed. And he said to them in response, he says, "How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that had been foretold by the prophets. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And the Lord opened to them the Scriptures and explained everything to them. And I always have to say this, because people have to understand, when the Gospel says he opened to them the Scriptures and explained everything to them, people often don't realize there are no Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had not been written. The epistles, the letters, Paul, Peter, James, John, Jude, Titus, those letters had not been written. The Acts of the Apostles hadn't been written. The book of Revelation hadn't been written. There's no New Testament. This is the day of the resurrection. So Jesus is reaching back into the Hebrew Scriptures. It's all been foretold. What did Moses say? What did Zephaniah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Baruch, Hosea? Wasn't it all supposed to happen this way? And then they reached the juncture in the road, and Jesus gave the impression he was going to go farther. And they said, "Sir, stay with us. Stay with us." At their invitation, he entered their home, sat down at the table, took bread, blessed the bread, broke it, and gave it to them. And with that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized it was Jesus, but he vanished from their sight. And they looked at each other, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn as he spoke to us on the way and opened the Scriptures to us?" And they immediately went back to Jerusalem to proclaim the Lord was alive, and how they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. So this incident of his appearance in this, the risen Lord, gives us a blueprint of the Holy Mass. The first was instituted just a few days before on Holy Thursday, the second on the day of the resurrection. And so the story goes until Jesus comes in glory. So for 2,000 years, he's remained with us in the quote-unquote breaking of the bread. You know, as I mentioned, you know, pandemics and pestilence come and go. Wars are waged. Empires and nations see their day. Hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, volcanoes lie in wait. At some point in time, something or someone will bring an end to our sojourn. And again, what is a sojourn? What is it? But to live somewhere temporarily, as if on a visit for a brief stay. Again, when you think of the whole of eternity, we're here for just a little bit of time. But for 2,000 years, as we're making our way to the homeland, Jesus remains with us. This is God's visitation to us, that we not collapse as we make our way to the homeland. He will carry us through, that we not collapse. He feeds us with himself, also that he reproduces life in us. You know, have they made an official end to the global pandemic?
Who knows? I think they did say it, but then they said there's another variant out there now, I don't know.
So anyway, it's a reminder that, you know, in 100 years, the planet, if it's still here, will be populated by different mm-hmm. people. We will have passed over from here to there. The question that begs our attention is, where is there?
Right.
There is with the Lord in the company of our ancestors, if we invite him to stay with us as we go on our way, fulfilling his will to conduct ourselves with reverence on the journey. That's what St. Peter said, conduct yourself with reverence on the journey, on the sojourn. And perhaps, you know, like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, we're truly at a juncture in the road, and the Lord, for many people, it seems to be going away from us. He seems to be going away from us. But in reality, he's asking us, you know, in this time in which we're living, are you with me or against me? And as with the two disciples, he awaits from us an answer or an invitation to come into our homes. And that's basically what we say right before we receive Holy Communion, right? Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, say, but only the word. No, what do you say? Lord, I'm not worthy that you come into my, under my roof or into my house. In Spanish, they say into my house.
It's under my roof.
Under my roof, which means into my house. Mm-hmm. Lord, I'm not worthy that you come in, enter into my, what is it? Lord, I'm not worthy that you enter under my roof. Under my roof?
I think it's under my roof.
Under my roof. Say, but only the word of my soul shall be healed. In the Spanish, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come into my house. Say, but only the word and my soul will be healed. It means it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And I could be mistaken. Bajo mi techo, is under my roof. Anyway, I have to check the translation. In the scripture, it's under my roof because it's taken from scripture.
It's funny how you can't recall it when you need to recall it. Right. But you
because
say it effortlessly.
But I'm always conscious of it because nuestra dignidad en mi casa. But in the gospel, because it's really the centurion who says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Mm-hmm. Say but only the word, my servant will be healed. Yeah. In this case, it was his soldier. His servant. We say that before. So this is the world is not our home, but certainly God means to dwell within us. make his home within us, to stay with us. So anyway, but people are asking, you know, has he gone away from us? And he says, no, I'm asking you, are you with me? Are you against me? And he awaits the invitation to come into our homes. And that's what we do before we receive Holy Communion. Maybe we fail to recognize him in the breaking of the bread. Perhaps our hearts have ceased burning for him, and we've been mute in the proclamation of his holy name. But one thing is certain, and as we discuss, converse, and debate the events of our day, the Lord is in our midst. If we're prevented from seeing him, the fault may well be ours. And you know, this is my hope, is that as things get so crazy in the world, and they really are, unless you completely tune out, and you got to tune out sometimes the television, the news, and all that stuff. But even so, you know, it's then you can get caught up in the falsehood of social media.
Yeah.
And the like, and you see some of this stuff, and you say that, wow, this is, we're living in a crazy time, really crazy, non-commonsensical, the lack of right reason, seeming to embrace unscientific realities, right? Mm-hmm. The church was always accused of that, and yet the church founded the science,
That part they leave out.
They leave out, yeah. It's just crazy. But so as we're, conversing, discussing, debating, wandering, a bit wayward perhaps, the Lord says, invite me in. Are you with me or are you against me? How foolish we've been, how slow to believe. The sacred story has been written and continues to unfold. Scripture has been opened for us, and the Lord comes to us in the breaking of the bread, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We're ransomed and washed in the precious blood of Christ, as we heard in the readings this past Sunday, and he feeds us with himself to sustain us in the struggles of this life and prepare us for the homeland. Yeah, there's a plethora of things disturbing us, leaving us feel as though we are in a foreign land. And, my friends, indeed, we are. The world is not our home. It's our common home for a brief sojourn, a brief stay. But the world is not our home. This world, for all its good and all its evil, is passing away. We're here for a short time, but not left to fend for ourselves. We need only ask the Lord, as the two disciples in the gospel, stay with us. And as the gospel declares, he stayed with them. Jesus is with us. It falls on us to set out and proclaim to a disoriented world the cause of our hope, the means to peace, and the why of our joy. The Lord is not dead. He's not buried. He reigns for all ages, and his reign will have no end. His kingdom will have no end. This world is passing away. This is reality. This is a reality that has to be emphasized, and stressed and embraced, because it is reality. And, we can talk about, and certainly, climate change and we have to take care of the planet. No doubt we have to take care of the planet, but what about a concern for the soul of others? When you look at the immorality and the lack of regard for the commandments of God, the lack of regard for worship of God. The Israelites, when they were in Egypt, Moses told Pharaoh that he wanted these people free for what reason? That they could worship their God. Worship their God. The worship of God should be at the center of our lives, the center of our day, and it all comes to its perfection, mystically speaking, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. All right, we're going to take a brief break. And be right back. So don't go away. Stay with us. Stay with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
The best candidate for marriage is the very person who would be a good candidate for monasticism. And the best candidate for monasticism would be the very person who would be a good candidate for marriage. I'm Father Thomas J. Loy with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Celibacy and marriage are not opposed to each other. They are actually two sides of the same coin. Marriage and celibacy are both choices to love, to make a gift of self, to live spousally. Happy marriages are those which have the element of the monastic in them, prayer, discipline, dying to self, and a sense of belonging ultimately to God. A celibate is happiest when he or she lives their celibacy spousally, making a gift of self to God and to others. The married couple reminds the celibate of the spousal dimension of his or her celibacy. The celibate reminds the married couple of the sacramental nature of their marriage. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, and we'll just kind of wrap up. Today's a feast of St. Mark, who was a cousin of Barnabas, and he accompanied St. Paul on his missionary journey and later went with him to Rome. He was a disciple of St. Peter, whose teaching was the basis for Mark's gospel. He's said to be the founder of the Church of Alexandria. But I want to read, just as by way of bringing this hour to an end, there's the reading from St. Paul. This is from the office, Divine Office, on the occasion of his feast. St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, he said, I plead with you as a prisoner for the Lord to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, with perfect humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another lovingly, make every effort to preserve the unity which has the Spirit as its origin and peace as its binding force. There is but one body and one Spirit, just as there is but one hope given all of you by your call. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and works through all and is in all. Now, again, on the occasion of his feast day, this reflection from St. Irenaeus, going back to the earliest days of the church, he says, the church, which has spread everywhere, even to the ends of the earth, received the faith from the apostles and their disciples. By faith, We believe in one God, the Almighty Father, who made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that is in them. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became man for our salvation. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who through the prophets foretold God's plan, the coming of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ, his birth from the Virgin, his passion, his resurrection from the dead, his ascension into heaven, and his final coming from heaven in the glory of his Father to recapitulate all things and to raise all men from the dead, so that by the decree of his invisible Father, he may make a just judgment in all things, and so that every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God, our Savior and our King, and every tongue confess him. The church spread throughout the whole world received this preaching and this faith and now preserves it carefully, dwelling, as it were, in one house, having one soul, one heart. The church holds this faith, preaches and teaches it consistently as though by a single voice. For though there are different languages, there is but one tradition. The faith and the tradition, this is interesting, the faith and the tradition of the churches founded in Germany are no different from those founded among the Spanish and the Celts in the East, in Egypt, in Libya, and elsewhere in the Mediterranean world. Just as God's creature, the Son, is one and the same the world over, so also does the church's preaching shine everywhere to enlighten all men who want to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, of those who speak with authority in the churches, no preacher, however forceful, will utter anything different, for no one is above the master, nor will a less forceful preacher diminish what has been handed down. Since our faith is everywhere the same, no one who can say more augments it, nor can anyone who says less diminish it. It's a very interesting reading for our day and our time as the church, and it, you know, we'll hear this this coming Sunday about the shepherd and the gate. You know, Jesus is the shepherd and the gate, and the sheep recognize his voice, but he warns us of those who are wolves clothed as sheep. He calls them robbers, and I think he uses some other words as well. But and they come only to scatter, divide, and destroy. We hear this over and over in Scripture, and we always have to be on the watch. And see, this is part of the spiritual battle that we... The church is always, always under attack. There's always the powers and principalities, the spirits of this world, and certainly the demonic that wants to bring the church to her demise. But Jesus, as I said earlier in the program, he says the gates of hell shall not prevail. But, again, you're going to have trouble in this world, but take courage. Be at peace. I've conquered the world. Almighty God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say? When the world makes no sense, do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The